The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties, with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Wendell's Awakening. Entrepreneurs such as Lauren and Chris Gass of Bellow Butcher Company are bringing fresh energy and new businesses to this booming Wake County town. And the cover story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Small Town, Big Ambitions. The town of Wendell looks to balance all its growth. And this is written by Kay Tracy. Chris and Lauren Gass met while working at the restaurant Pine Valley Market in Wilmington, and they've spent the better part of their culinary careers laboring for other chefs in prestigious kitchens in Raleigh and Nashville, Tennessee, but they wanted a place of their own. Considering where to settle, the Gasses didn't choose the urban density and hot restaurant scenes of downtown Raleigh or downtown Durham. Instead, they chose the quaint town of Wendell. The build-out of their shop, Bellow Butcher Company, was no simple matter, as the space at 8 North Main Street needed considerable rehabilitation. But through the pain of permitting and construction, Chris and Lauren Gass kept at it, and the town was ready for them. Even the rain on October 28 couldn't keep eager customers away from trying one of their deli sandwiches or cuts of meat. A line of 30-plus people deep formed outside Bellow Butcher. Surrounding business owners put in lunch orders for their employees, and under 2 hours, Bellow Butcher sold out of its sandwiches. It's uncommon to see a line out of the door on opening day around Wake County, but for Roger Peterson, executive director at the Wendell Chamber of Commerce, the demand for Bellow Butcher was not unusual. When Parallax Coffee Lab opened in downtown Wendell last April, people stood outside in a line that wrapped around the block for hours. Same with Saunders opening in Wendell Falls in 2023. Wake Technical Community College's Wendell campus had 2,000 people gathered at its ribbon cutting. Some of it is a little bit of a pent-up demand when you see these things, Peterson said. As rooftops continue to pop up in the eastern Wake County community, the restaurant and retail opportunities are also blossoming. 5 years ago, the Wendell Chamber had 133 memberships. Now it has more than doubled to 290. In 2022, the chamber celebrated 10 ribbon cuttings. Last year, Wendell held nearly triple the number of business ribbon cuttings, 27, and has celebrated 16 so far this year, Peterson said. Like Chris and Lauren Gass, more business owners are betting on downtown Wendell, spending time and money to retrofit old buildings there, and yet there are no guarantees considering the town still does not have the foot traffic or density that businesses benefit from in other parts of the triangle. They've made some significant investments in those facilities that really are required in order to have a quality store, Peterson said. They're doing that because they have a sense that people will come and visit them. Retail follows residential. This year marks the decade anniversary of the master plan community of Wendell Falls. Wendell Falls has sold 2,300 homes, more than half of the 4,000 planned residential units the community will have upon completion. Wendell has been the fastest growing municipality in the state among populations of 5,000 or more. Between 2020 and 2024, the population increased by 73% to 17,000 people, according to state demographer Michael Klein. Compared to housing costs within the Raleigh Beltline, Wendell is more affordable for home buyers. Interstate 540 first opened in Knightdale in 2007, and with complete 540 finishing construction in 2028, residents of eastern Wake County have and will continue benefiting from fast commutes to other parts of the triangle. Down the four-lane Wendell Falls Parkway, off Interstate 87, there's a public supermarket to the right and a Culver's to the left. Other chains abound, including McDonald's, Starbucks, and Jersey Mike's Subs. At Tree Light Square in Wendell Falls, more than 35 businesses have opened, some of which are locally owned, like Sonder Coffee. Vic's Pizzeria and Bar in Raleigh chose Wendell Falls for its upcoming second location. While Yu Shogun Sushi Kitchen and Bar and Duck Donuts opened this year, Chick-fil-A is building a restaurant nearby, while Lowe's Foods is planning to build Wendell's fourth grocery store with additional retail in the works as part of the Lowe's development. Leaving Wendell Falls, the parkway eventually shrinks down to two lanes as it winds past fields and farms before coming to downtown Wendell, about a seven-minute drive from Wendell Falls. Named after poet Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr., father of Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., Wendell was founded in 1903, driven by tobacco farming. A train depot came in 1906, and porters would call out the town's name, enunciating the name that gives the town its current pronunciation, Wendell, and not Wendell. Building a proper downtown. Following the development of Wendell Falls, downtown is also entering a new era of growth. Developer Sam Crutchfield, who helped bring Raleigh Ironworks and Dock 1053 to life, plans to bring the same adaptive reuse energy to downtown Wendell. Dubbed Third Street Apollo, the project will transform a 140,000-square-foot warehouse property into a vibrant collection of restaurants, retail shops, office space, outdoor space, and more. Driving that move, Crutchfield said, is that his team kept hearing that people in the town wanted more variety for restaurants and something, quote, a little more elevated than what's available dining-wise downtown now, unquote. Crutchfield's group plans to spend between $10 to $15 million on the first phase of the Third Street Apollo project, which will create 10,000 square feet of restaurant space, 12,000 to 15,000 square feet of retail space, and 8 to 10,000 square feet of office space, plus an outdoor gathering space. The second phase, which will involve 100,000 square feet, could become more office or manufacturing lab space. The second phase will have a similar, if not higher, budget than the first phase. Other new businesses in downtown Wendell include Cat Daddy's Bottle Shop, which opened earlier this year. They join an eclectic group of shops, Bearded Bee Brewing Company, Simply Blush Bridal, and Chocolates by Whitney, to name a few. Meanwhile, the Wendell Commerce Center, located at Interstate 87 and Wendell Boulevard, is a third node of growth for the town, with industrial, retail, and multifamily development in the works. The popular gas station Wawa appears to be one of the first retailers to commit to the area. Challenges and growing pains. Adam Price and his wife Amanda opened Tappet Social House last June in downtown Wendell, complete with arcade games, duckpin bowling, and self-serve beverage taps. Price said the venue appeals to everyone, but families with kids have been Tappet's main demographic. The business recently started doing trackout camps for kids at Wake County Schools, and then will be launching a summer camp as well. If you just wait on walk-in traffic, it's so unpredictable. Our days and weeks are very unpredictable. Weekdays are tough for us in this business, Price said. Price at times felt that it wasn't even worth being open on certain weekdays, given the lack of customers and revenue coming in. I would say that was probably a little harder than we anticipated, he said. To overcome slow weekdays, Tappet started bowling leagues that have brought more customers in during the week. Still a bright spot for the business is that it's drawing fresh faces. Approximately 20% of Tappet's guests are first-time customers. Prior to Tappet, the building was home to the Mortex Factory Outlet, which sold shirts and apparel from the Mortex Corporation, which was founded in 1984 in Wendell and dissolved in 2013. Price spent considerable time and money to renovate the building into Tappet. That was definitely a learning lesson, too, going into a building that's 75 years old and trying to kind of convert it to the use that we have. It was definitely a challenge, Price said. He's not alone. Price is seeing the slow transformation of downtown Wendell, but recognizes success is not guaranteed, especially if businesses are not willing to spend money on a proper build-out. Are they trying to do a quick flip? And if that's the case, chances are they're not going to make it, Price said. The town has offered downtown improvement grants to five businesses in the last year. In addition, town leadership continues to invest in streetscape plans, murals, sidewalk improvements, and more. The town became a social district for outdoor alcohol consumption as well. There's been a lot of investment by the town, but also a lot of planning that's gone into making sure that downtown Wendell is that destination place for not only our residents, but it brings in people from other surrounding towns as well, planning director Brian Coates said. But despite the residential boom in Wendell Falls, opening a business in downtown Wendell is hardly a slam dunk. Part of that is the convenience of amenities at Wendell Falls. Those residents are walking or taking their golf carts to the grocery store, coffee shop, or restaurant. Visiting downtown means having to get in the car. If you don't have something special enough for people, even though it's only 2 miles away, they're not going to drive and come do it because they have almost everything right there. So you almost have to try even harder to grab those people to come downtown, Price said. The town's planning to work on making Wendell Falls and downtown Wendell more accessible by building more interconnected pathways between the two communities. Price has his moments where he wishes he would have opened Tappet in Wendell Falls instead of downtown, but then he thinks about the fact that downtown Wendell is full of local business owners who want to work together and support each other. Wendell is so big and it's so small at the same time, Price said. Wendell's future. At first, Chris and Lauren Gass appear to stick out in the small town culture that is Wendell with their dozens of tattoos, including a few culinary-related tattoos. They've spent their careers working in high-end restaurants like Brodetto and Mandolin. But they are choosing to open a butcher shop, something that Wendell's older residents can remember shopping at prior to the Walmartization of American life. The town has welcomed them. We don't feel judged, and I think that's been a big thing of why we liked it here so much. We're able to have a conversation with somebody who we probably clearly differ with a lot on our morals, and it's been great. I really like it. I really like that that hasn't factored in and that people haven't made assumptions of us and vice versa, Chris Gass said. Like Price, the couple has felt the allied nature of downtown Wendell businesses, something they don't think they could have found in an area dominated by chain restaurants. Grill Billy's Barbecue Supply, located a few blocks away from Bellow Butcher, was a concern for Chris and Lauren Gass at first, as they thought the owner would feel threatened by a business that overlapped with his. But then Chris Gass met him. The first thing that he said to me, Gass said, was, "What can I do to help you? What can I do to not take away from your business?" The town has also been helpful. Bellow Butcher received $25,000 in initial grant funding from Wendell, plus another $9,000 after construction costs increased. Chris Gass described the Bellow Butcher space as an old facade with new clothes, joining the ranks of Parallax, Bearded Bee, and Tappet in renovating Bellow Butcher space. "I like the mix of the old and the new, but I want to see that there's a market for a younger crowd," Lauren Gass said. The condition of some of the downtown Wendell's buildings has been a hindrance for small business owners, she said, but the trade-off is cheap rent. Bellow Butcher is paying $2,200 a month. Their landlord, Melody Narla, owns 5 properties in downtown Wendell, where she and her husband charge $24 per square foot in rent, well below Raleigh's average of $29 per square foot, according to LoopNet. Cannons, which dates to 1916, used to be in Narla's property before the store moved to Raleigh's Village District. The men's store moved to Raleigh in 2012 and the women's store in 2016. Like the loss of the Morton outlet around that same time, the loss of Cannons seemed to signal a real blow for Wendell. Instead, Cannons has thrived in its new home, and the rise of Wendell Falls has helped Wendell prosper. For business owners trying to be successful downtown, the timing has to be right. They have to have patience to grow with the town, Narla said. Not everyone is happy with how Wendell is growing. BJ Barham, frontman for the band American Aquarium, was so frustrated with how Wendell leadership has handled growth and development that he ran for town commissioner. "Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't want Wendell to just be strip malls and townhomes and just gray," Barham said. He fell 21 votes short in a close election November 4 that reflects how deeply Wendell is grappling with all of the changes. "I think we're the last frontier of Wake County," Barham said. But change is coming, and adding more restaurants, retail, and activating the second floors of businesses in Wendell is a priority for town planners. Coates also said residential and mixed-use infill projects are also welcome, as long as they add to downtown and keep the Main Street feel. Creating more jobs in Wendell is also a big priority for the town. Downtown's zoning allows for 3-story to 4-story buildings, higher than the current 2-story buildings that are there today. Coates is having weekly conversations with business owners looking to come downtown. "There's a lot of interest in downtown Wendell right now to rehab and redo some of the existing buildings and then add some new as well," Coates said. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Durham seeks big welcome for CIAA. Businesses rally as CIAA football title game returns for first time since 2015. The Triangle has been a hub of the CIAA for decades, but this year marks an important one as the CIAA football championship game returns to the market for the first time since 2015. The game at Durham County Memorial Stadium on November 15 is being greeted by a swarm of support as local businesses look to capitalize on the moment. A small thrift shop run by former St. Augustine's University football player Malin Rowland is among those glad to see the game in town. His shop, Middle of May, is about 5 minutes from NC Central University. Rowland said he always had an interest in history and after dabbling in real estate in Michigan, returned home to open the business a year and a half ago. "I'm a history buff," he said, "so I look at most of the things in my store as a small museum." Rowland is offering 20% off during the championship weekend is one of multiple businesses in offering discounts for the championship weekend. Sports championships can be a big draw and economic driver. Raleigh, for years, was the home to the CIAA basketball tournament, and the Durham Sports Commission is working to bring such events to Durham to help promote the city. For Rowland, the event is a chance to showcase his shop, which he runs himself. "It's going well," he said. "With any business starting up, it's a grind in the beginning." Over time, he's seen the different rhythms and seen how business picks up when the college students are around. "I've learned a lot about myself and how to persevere," he said. Hard to believe, but holidays are approaching. While the warm weather in October seemed to lengthen the summer, the fact is the holiday season is only days away. Raleigh holds its Christmas parade on November 22nd, landing as usual on a date before Thanksgiving. And given all the warm weather, you have to wonder if Santa will ditch his coat for a quarter zip. Raleigh begins the holiday ice skating at the Red Hat Amphitheater rink the same day. And yes, Biz gives you permission to start cranking out Mariah Carey tunes. Durham, meanwhile, waits all the way until December 13th. For its Christmas parade. Duke Carolina bobblehead is out long before game. It's never too early to start looking ahead to the Duke Carolina basketball game, and if you thought the Duke Carolina rivalry was big before, now it's getting immortalized with a bobblehead. The folks at the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum have unveiled their first bobblehead that celebrates the game between UNC Chapel Hill and Duke University. The teams don't play until February 7 in Chapel Hill, but hey, why wait? 400H adds another lease in downtown Raleigh. After more than a decade in the Triangle, a construction project management and cost management firm is making a strong commitment to downtown Raleigh. Cumming Group, headquartered in New York, has signed a lease for 7,000 square feet of office space at 400H, located at 400 Hillsborough Street. The new office will be double the size of Cumming Group's current Southwest Raleigh office at 5440 Centerview Drive. The firm is planning to move into 400H by the end of the first quarter next year. Along with the growing Triangle region, Vice President Brian Roof said Cumming Group has been expanding and ran out of space in Southwest Raleigh. When looking for a new home, downtown Raleigh rose to the top of Cumming Group's choices. The 400H building was attractive to the Cumming Group for a number of reasons, including its amenities and its current lineup of tenants. And finally, after booming, Durham sees visitors level off. Durham had been on a roll in recent years, but the explosive growth of the past leveled off some in 2024, according to a new report from Discover Durham. Susan Amy, the CEO of Discover Durham, said the city is at a pivotal moment as it looks to recover the high growth rates of the past. In 2024, 13.2 million people visited Durham, a rise of 3.1% over 2023. That's not bad, but a slower rate than in the past. For example, Durham had 11.1 million visitors in 2015, and that number had jumped to 12.5 million by 2019. Durham's booming downtown, thriving arts and hospitality scene, and of course, Duke University and the Durham Bulls have driven visitors to the city. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Kate Tracy. California jewelry retailer to open in North Hills, Gorjana, is ready for its Raleigh debut, the brand's second Triangle location. North Hills is about to get an added sparkle. Gorjana, That's spelled G-O-R-J-A-N-A. A California-based retailer that's in expansion mode nationwide is planning to open at 4104 Center at North Hill Street in Suite 110, according to Raleigh Permits. The store will be next to True Food Kitchen and in close proximity to Restoration Hardware, Lululemon, and other retailers in the North Hills main district. Gorjana sells a variety of necklaces, earrings, bracelets, and rings, in addition to other accessories. On the high end, Gorjana sells a statement necklace for $5,225, according to its website. Rings range in price from $58 to $1,990, while bracelets start at $48 and go up to $3,640. This will be the first Raleigh outpost for Gorjana. Charlotte's Gorjana location opened in April at South Park Mall, while its Durham store opened at the streets at South Point this fall. Stacy Busher, managing director of operations at Kane Realty Corporation, said in a statement that Gorjana's focus on creating a personal, welcoming shopping experience aligns beautifully with our goal of making North Hills a destination where people love to spend time. Gorjana representatives did not return requests for comment. Jason and Gorjana Riedel started Gorjana in 2004 in Laguna Beach, California. The couple opened the first retail store in 2016 in downtown Laguna Beach before expanding to a New York store the following year. Now the company has 100 stores across the country. Gorjana will join other newcomers in the North Hills main district, including women's apparel brand Veronica Beard, which is opening early next year, and Chanel Fragrance and Beauty Boutique, which opened earlier this year. Sephora and the wine-centric restaurant 60 Vines are coming soon. Elsewhere in North Hills, Kane Realty has started construction on a 20-story residential tower, and the Innovation District continues to make progress. And our next article is written by Zach Ezone. RTP firm featured on GMA lands pivotal funding. Opus Genetics heads to critical Phase 3 trial to help the blind. A Durham company that was featured on Good Morning America has reached a pivotal stage in its effort to address a cause of blindness. Opus Genetics is launching a Phase 3 trial to evaluate a gene therapy targeting a rare inherited eye disorder that causes severe vision loss within the first few months of life. Opus so far has seen promising results, with patients' vision improving. One of the patients from the adult cohort of an earlier study recently told the story of her improved vision on Good Morning America. Lindsay Rambo said her sight had become progressively worse until she had the Opus genetics treatment. One day, the stunned mother could look at a group of children and identify her own. "That's the first time I was able to do that," she told GMA. The company recently met with the regulators at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to talk about a path forward for the gene therapy program, OPGX-LCA5. This follows a Phase 1-2 trial that includes 6 patients, 3 adults and 3 children, with Leber congenital amaurosis, which is caused by genetic mutations in the eye. Opus in late September reported positive data from the pediatric cohort, which included 3 patients between the ages of 16 to 17. "The visual acuity in all 3 of the kids dramatically improved," said CEO George Magrath. "That was paired with full field stimulus threshold testing, where you measure the sensitivity of the photoreceptors. That improved in the patients as well." For the Phase 3 trial, the company plans to enroll another 8 patients. The company has secured $23 million in financing and has cash to support its operations through 2027, Magrath said. This does not include some existing callable warrants and potential milestone payments that could further extend this runway. "That financing was designed to help us get to the approval, so you can think about the LCA5 program as being pretty well funded at this point," Magrath said. Opus, formerly a private biotech firm, became a public company last year through a merger with OcuHire Pharma. The deal combined Opus's early-stage gene therapy programs with OcuHire's pipeline, and that company's spelled OcuHire. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, beginning with Kaylee Thompson's page, Real Estate and Development. Maryland firm buys apartments. Railfield acquires Durham apartments for $45.4 million after 9 years. Railfield, in a joint venture with GCM Grosvenor's real estate platform, paid $45.4 million for the Springfield apartments near the South Square Shopping Center in Durham, according to Durham County deed records. Seller, Gamma Real Estate of New York, acquired the property in 2019 for $33.25 million. Before that, Virginia-based McCann Realty Partners paid $24.35 million in 2016 for it. Each one of those times, Railfield put in an offer on the property but wasn't chosen until this year, according to John Siegel, chief investment officer for Railfield. We were pretty familiar with the asset and had taken a run at it before. We were happy when we were given the opportunity to buy it again, and it worked out this time, Siegel said. One of the biggest draws for the company was the fact that despite being nearly 40 years old, the property was in good shape and consistently maintains an occupancy rate in the mid-90s. Siegel said that because the previous owners maintained the property, there isn't extensive work that needs to be done. In addition, Gamma Real Estate had performed upgrades to the clubhouse and common areas. Railfield will build on that by improving some common areas and performing minor upgrades to the residential units. The location was also key. As Siegel said, both macro and micro location was ideal. Springfield Apartments is at 4600 University Drive near several employment centers. Springfield Apartments offers 1 and 2 bedroom units for $1,112 up to $1,626. Apartment sizes range from 500 square feet to 1,010 square feet. Some units have fireplaces, in-unit washer and dryer, stainless steel appliances, and granite countertops. Amenities include a swimming pool, fitness center, courtyard, dog park, and a lounge. There are 288 units in 17 three-story buildings. Springfield Apartments sits on a 32.32 acres and has an assessed value of $56 million. Texas firm replaces another in Durham. A new developer has taken over a multifamily project in a busy Durham corridor. Aura Green Hill, an apartment and townhome project proposed by Dallas developer Trinzic Residential, is now in the hands of JPI, another Dallas developer. The four parcels along Hillsborough Road will have 398 apartments and 42 townhomes, similar to the previous plans, but with a handful of adjustments. Elliot Howell, managing director at Trinzic, said with a recent change in leadership that involved the Carolinas, it made sense to withdraw the project and let JPI take it on. Trinzic withdrew from the plans in early 2025 during the site review process. JPI came in the picture in June when the company went under contract to buy the land. Jake Fortune Greenlee, vice president of development for the Southeast for JPI, said the company planned to move forward with or without Trinzic's plans for the site. Ultimately, the developer decided to buy the site plans from Trinzic and make adjustments. Fortune Greenlee said the developer spent thousands to redesign the plans to make it fit with the current market, including the units and amenities, bringing the total development cost to $140 million. Previously, Trinzic was anticipating a development cost of $135 million. In Holly Springs, developers add land for life sciences project. The development team behind a large life sciences hub in Holly Springs has acquired an adjoining property. Helix Ventures LLC and Creative Manufacturing Properties, or CMP, are jointly developing Camp Helix on the southern side of US 1 near the Amgen campus. Under the Friendship Road Land Co. LLC, the two companies recently acquired 92 acres for $14.8 million, according to Wake County deed records. Trustwell Property Group owns the Helix Ventures LLC. A representative with Trustwell said there are no immediate plans and that it was simply an opportunistic purchase that came available. In December 2024, Helix Ventures LLC bought 135 acres across US 1 for $10.13 million. The area between Holly Springs and Highway 1 has become a life sciences hub. For example, Genentech has signed on to build a production facility at Camp Helix, a $700 million investment that could create more than 400 jobs. And finally, Charlotte firm targets Midtown Raleigh. A Charlotte developer is going all in on Midtown Raleigh. Beacon Partners is holding a neighborhood meeting regarding its plans to seek a rezoning for two properties along Capitol Boulevard adjacent to the Salvage Yard and Raleigh Iron Works. The rezoning would allow mixed-use development up to 20 stories. The current zoning is industrial mixed use up to 3 stories. Walker Gorham, managing partner at Beacon, said the company is under contract to acquire the properties at 2233 and 2321 Capitol Boulevard from Johnson Brothers Mutual after it relocates to Garner in late 2026. The property on Capitol Boulevard totals 19.74 acres and is assessed at $38.2 million, according to tax records. And now we turn to the Greater Triangle page, written by Ben Tobin. Huge data center project moves forward. The rezoned land now enables a $19 billion project at Kingsborough Megasite. A county in eastern North Carolina has taken a critical step in changing its development code to pave the way for a data center project. The Edgecombe County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously November 3rd to approve a text amendment to the county's Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO, that specifies which zoning districts data centers can go into. The UDO, which previously did not contain language regarding data centers, now allows applicants to develop data centers in M2 general industrial zoning districts. There are only 2 areas zoned M2 in Edgecombe County, the Kingsborough Megasite and a 315-acre tract off NC-97 in the western part of the county. With the text amendment approved, Energy Storage Solutions, a Robertsonville-based LLC, is planning to move forward on a $19.2 billion data center and energy storage project on roughly 300 acres at the Kingsborough Megasite, said Dan Schaefer, president of the group. Schaefer said, "In the first quarter, we hope to be breaking ground there." Schaefer said up to 1,000 jobs will be created as a result of the project. There will be a dozen 40,000-square-foot structures in the development, Schaefer said. He added that it may take us 5 years or more to get everything completed, but the funding will be in place. This plan comes into focus after Energy Storage Solutions' first project proposal in Edgecombe County, a $6.4 billion project in Tarboro, was rejected by the Tarboro Town Council in September. Data center proposals have been submitted to communities across North Carolina this year, fueled by demand created by the rise of artificial intelligence, but multiple projects have faced opposition. The Kingsborough Megasite has not been a source of luck recently for the county. Natron Energy, a California-based group, that had promised a $1 billion investment at the site in 2024, folded in September. And before that, China's Triangle Tire had planned to invest $580 million in 2 tire plants at the megasite, but that project also failed to materialize. In Pitt County, Greenville project hits milestone as jobs rise. A $300 million project in Greenville has reached a major milestone. Boviet Solar, that's B-O-V-I-E-T, a green energy company based out of Vietnam, has started interior construction on the second phase of its project in the Pitt County city, which represents the company's first U.S. manufacturing operation and is now expected to create more than 1,000 jobs. Mass production began at the facility, which focuses on manufacturing solar panels, earlier this year. In its second phase of the project, Boviet Solar is constructing a new building to increase production of PV, photovoltaic cells, which are core components of solar panels. The exterior build-out of the second phase has been completed, with the facility expected to be complete in the second half of 2026. Boviet Solar now says it will eventually employ 1,300 people in Greenville, up from 900 when the project was officially announced. This milestone marks another important step in Boviet Solar's long-term growth strategy, Sienna Sen, president of Boviet Solar USA, said in a statement. By expanding our production capabilities in the United States, we are not only supporting domestic content and job creation, but also enhancing supply chain resilience for our customers. And finally, in Lee County, longtime Coca-Cola bottling facility sold once again. A Coca-Cola bottling facility that operated for 50 years in Lee County has been sold for the second time in 18 months. Lee County bought the property at 1605 and 1611 Hawkins Avenue for $5 million, according to Lee County deed records filed in October. The site includes 2 buildings, one more than 32,000 square feet and the other 8,600 square feet that the county plans to use for additional storage space. The seller was Florida-based New Market Strategies, a real estate investment firm that has been active in the Research Triangle area. The firm purchased the property in May 2024 from Charlotte-based Beacon Partners for $3.85 million. The buildings were used by the Durham Coca-Cola bottling company, now called Rand Coca-Cola Beverages, before it consolidated operations to a new facility in eastern Chatham County near Apex. In 2017, Durham Coca-Cola acquired Sanford Coca-Cola from the Coca-Cola Company. The Lee County Board of Commissioners in June voted to approve the acquisition of the property. In September, the board approved financing up to $7.5 million for the purchase. And now we turn to the Aviation and Technology page, written by Lauren Onasorge. Lufthansa Airlines sees strong start at RDU. Lufthansa upgrades RDU Frankfurt route to daily flights. The launch of Lufthansa Airlines' nonstop flight between Raleigh-Durham International Airport and Frankfurt, Germany, has gone better than anyone expected. That's according to Dirk Jansen, vice president of passenger sales for Lufthansa Group's Americas division, who was in North Carolina, to speak at the NC Global Advantage Forum held November 6th at RTI International's headquarters in Research Triangle Park. Jansen said the success of the route made Lufthansa's recent decision to increase frequency to daily service next summer an easy one. For a new route, Raleigh very fast went to profitability for us, he said. That exceeded our expectations. Usually you have a slower start. It has to be established. Lufthansa will also upgrade the aircraft to its Boeing 787s, an additional investment that signals the route's strategic importance. Asked whether more routes could follow, Jansen pointed to Charlotte, where Lufthansa added Munich service on top of its existing Frankfurt connection. But for RDU, he said additional destinations are not in the current plans. We have a really great footprint in the U.S. Now we have to see the operations in Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham develop, he said. RDU has continued to expand its international offerings. Most recently, Aer Lingus announced a new transatlantic route to Dublin set to launch in 2026 that builds on flights to London, Paris, and Reykjavik, Iceland, out of RDU. Other companies do their homework, Jansen said. I'm glad we jumped on this early and that was a good decision. Lufthansa has seen strong demand from both corporate and leisure travelers out of RDU. As for future investments, Jansen said, it depends on how the demand develops. Lufthansa's initial commitment to RDU was supported by a $3 million state incentives package. The nonstop flight was first announced in 2023 and launched last year. Elite flyers not impacted as FAA cuts back flights. For elite flyers able to skip the security lines, the situation unfolding at airports nationwide recently is a little more than background noise. On day 38 of the government shutdown, travelers faced canceled flights at major hubs across the country after the Federal Aviation Administration ordered airlines to reduce their flight capacity to alleviate pressure on short-staffed air traffic control towers. But for those boarding private aircraft via Fly Exclusive, the disruption felt distant. My knuckles are raw because I'm knocking on wood, said Jim Seagrave, CEO of the Kinston-based private jet company. Early November is typically a lull before the holiday rush, but this year demand surged early. Today, 7 days in, we're running at absolute full capacity, Seagrave said. In recent weeks, Seagrave has seen a noticeable uptick in activity. Anecdotally, he links the surge to the shutdown as travelers with means opt for private flights to avoid long lines at the airports. At Raleigh Executive Jetport in Sanford, Executive Bob Hutes said travelers looking to avoid congestion could benefit airfields like his, which already attract corporate jets and luxury flyers. Still, he didn't see a noticeable bump tied to the shutdown. And finally, startup dreams of satellite technology. Armed with new venture funding, a startup is preparing to launch a satellite in space. The technology behind Extellis, E-X-T-E-L-L-I-S, began in a Duke University lab, and CEO Michael Boyarsky hopes will be in orbit within 2 years. Founded out of the lab of Professor David Smith, Extellis is developing a technology with potential applications in defense and commercial sectors. A recent $6.4 million fundraise brings it closer to liftoff. Previously, Extellus had secured $3.3 million in government-sponsored grants. Though the company spun out last year, the research dates to 2014, when Boyarsky was a graduate student at Duke. Patents were filed for a metasurface antenna technology that enables rapid beam steering from a lightweight platform requiring minimal control power. In plain terms, it can capture a large volume of images from orbit. The technology is capable of increasing satellite imaging from 100 images per day to 10,000, with data returning to Earth within minutes. And now we turn to the retail and restaurants page, written by Kate Tracy. Northgate Mall revival kicks off with big plans. Demolition ahead for mall that struggled and then closed in 2020. A years-long push to revitalize a mall in Durham appears to finally be gaining steam. Regency Centers is kicking off the first phase of redevelopment at Northgate Mall, complete with plans for a large anchor tenant and spaces for local and national retailers alike. The Florida-based developer has submitted plans to the City of Durham for reimagined retail at the mall, located at 1058 West Club Boulevard, north of downtown. The mall faced foreclosure proceedings in 2018 and closed in 2020. Over the years, there have been multiple efforts to revive or redevelop the site. This phase focuses on restoring essential goods and services to a location that has been largely vacant for several years, Regency spokesperson Eric Davidson said in an email. Plans indicate that most of the current mall will be demolished. The four-level parking deck by the movie theater will be removed as well, but Duke University Health System's existing building will not be affected by Regency's project. Dubbed Ellerby Square, Regency is proposing a 140,245-square-foot retail building along Interstate 85 and Gregson Street. The developer is in the final steps of lease negotiations with its future anchor tenant, Davidson said. Five additional retail buildings make up the rest of the perimeter around a large parking lot. The building sizes are 3,310 square feet, 3,432 square feet, 5,719 square feet, 14,773 square feet, and 20,724 square feet. The retail building on the western side of Ellerby Square will feature nine retail suites ranging in size from 2,100 to 2,758 square feet. The retail buildings on the eastern side of the project range in size from 1,957 to 2,220 square feet. Regency hired Raleigh-based CI Design Incorporated as its architect and Raleigh-based engineering firm McAdams to plan Ellerby Square. The Rand family developed Northgate in the 1950s, owning and managing it until 2018 when the family sold it to Northwood Investors, a private equity firm based in Denver. Regency owns 13 properties in the Triangle. Discount Furniture Store signs first lease in Raleigh. Bob's Discount Furniture is continuing its expansion in North Carolina, this time in Raleigh. The Connecticut-based furniture company has signed a lease for 34,070 square feet in Raleigh's Capital Marketplace at 3340 Cypress Plantation Drive near the Triangle Town Center, according to brokerage firm CBRE. Bob's Discount Furniture is replacing a former Big Lots store in the standalone building. The location was among the four Triangle area Big Lots leases that went to auction last year following the retailer's bankruptcy. Earlier this year, Bob's made a six-store commitment to North Carolina with plans to fill former Bed Bath & Beyond stores. In the Triangle, the Raleigh location will join Bob's stores that recently opened in Durham at 3616 Witherspoon Boulevard and in Cary at 405 Crossroads Boulevard. The company has also opened in Fayetteville, Jacksonville, Wilmington, and Winston-Salem. John Stanley with CBRE represented landlord Finmark in the transaction. Stanley called Capital Marketplace one of the busiest retail corridors in the region. And finally, in Durham, New Jersey burrito chain eyes Triangle openings. A fast-growing burrito franchise is eyeing North Carolina for new locations. Bubba Coos Burritos, that's B-U-B-B-A-K-O-O. Bubba Coos Burritos, a Mexican fusion chain with locations across the country, is opening at least two outposts in the Triangle. A Durham location will open at 8202 Renaissance Parkway in the Renaissance Village, located off Interstate 40 and Highway 751. And in West Cary, Bubba Coo's Burritos is opening in the Amberley Place Shopping Center at 337 Sembler Lane, according to plans filed with the town. A Bubba Coo's representative confirmed the Durham location, but franchisees did not respond to requests for comment. Paul Altero and Bill Hart founded Bubba Coo's in 2008 in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Bubba Coo's now has more than 100 locations, according to its website. Along the East Coast, Bubba Coo's restaurants are in Connecticut, Delaware, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Maryland, New York, Georgia, and Florida. Bubba Coo's charges franchisees $35,000 for the first location and $20,000 for each additional location, plus a 2% marketing fee and a 6% royalty fee. The restaurant's menu features burritos, quesadillas, tacos, and other Mexican staples mixed with non-Mexican flavors like honey sriracha chicken. And our last reporter page is On the Coast, written by Dane Huffman. Coastal property for sale for $20 million. Property stretches nearly 600 acres, fronts the Perquimans River. Another huge estate is on the market on the North Carolina coast, and this one has plenty of waterfront. A nearly 600-acre property on the Perquimans River outside of Hertford is listed for an eye-popping $20 million. Known as Cypress Point, the 591-acre property sits on the northern banks of the river at the mouth of Sutton Creek, with a 4,080-square-foot farmhouse just steps from the water and boat dock. The property features more than a mile of waterfront bulkhead, a project that began in 2013 and was finished in 2022. It has been maintained to the fullest extent by the owners, the listing says. The crown jewel of that place is the waterfront, said John Tate, broker in charge for North Carolina with Hayden Outdoors, which is listing the property. A gated drive runs more than a mile to the house, which features four bedrooms and four and a half baths. There's also a two-car garage. Toward the western edge of the property sits a barn measuring 50 feet by 30 feet. More than 250 acres are currently used by a local farmer, mainly growing soybeans and corn, according to the listing. Tate noted the land does have the potential to be subdivided. It now serves as a family retreat, which would be a great use for a potential buyer, Tate said. The person that wants that privacy, wants that peace and quiet, or someone who has the time to invest to get the most out of this property from a development standpoint, he said about potential buyers. A slice of heaven out near the coast, he added. The property is about a 90-minute drive to Duck in the Outer Banks, or you could head to the coast by boat, a 40-mile cruise. In Wilmington, logistics hub linking North Carolina, Ireland ramps up. A North Carolina logistics company is advancing plans to establish a global transportation network for the life sciences industry. Frontier Scientific Solutions has unveiled a flight schedule for a life sciences transportation service that connects Wilmington International Airport and Shannon Airport in Ireland. Frontier describes it as the first global air route solely dedicated to temperature-controlled transportation of life sciences cargo. It will connect two prominent sites for the life sciences industry in the U.S. and Europe. The company expects to create about 350 jobs over the next 3 to 5 years across both sites. This includes roles in temperature-controlled operations, quality and compliance, engineering, and customer support. Frontier stores and transports medicines, active pharmaceutical ingredients, and medical devices. It aims to address some of the challenges with the existing pharmaceutical supply chain that can lead to billions of dollars in product losses and delays in patients receiving medications. The firm has operated in Wilmington through a base facility since 2021. Earlier this year, the company began building a more than 500,000-square-foot facility at the airport to serve as Frontier's U.S. hub. The facility is expected to become fully operational around late January or early February. Tech giant acquires assets of startup Raylion, and that's spelled R-A-L-E-O-N. The assets of Raylion, a Wilmington startup founded in 2022 by Encino Veterans, and that's another company spelled N-C-I-N-O, have been acquired by Intuit. Terms were not disclosed. CEO Nathan Snell announced the news on LinkedIn, saying the technology, built to make email marketing smarter and more efficient, was being acquired by Intuit. Intuit acquired both Raylion's technology and its team to accelerate innovation in its MailChimp business, marketing automation, and email marketing platform. The Raylion team will help Intuit deliver AI solutions that will transform retention marketing for e-commerce brands and agencies, Snell wrote. Raylion said the company will cease operations in April. This will allow us to take what you've loved about Raylion and rebuild it directly into where you work, a world-class marketing platform, the blog post reads. And finally, Novant proposes hospital for Brunswick County. A major health system is setting its sights on the state's bustling coastal region. Novant Health wants to build a hospital in Brunswick County. The proposed Novant Health Leland Medical Center has a price tag of $250 million, according to an application filed with the State Department of Health and Human Services. The Leland Hospital would have 20 acute care beds, including 4 intensive care unit beds, 10 unlicensed observation beds, and 5 procedure rooms. Novant plans to build the 142,260-square-foot hospital on a 40-acre site on Fawnbrook Way near the Compass Point subdivision in Leland. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column, this one focusing on Carly Prentice Jones. In a closer look, title, CEO of ArtSpace, Education, Miami University, First Job, Limited 2 at the Old North Hills. Family, fiancé, 2 bonus daughters, baby son. Carly Prentice Jones, CEO of ArtSpace, is one of Raleigh's rarest finds, a native who stayed. And she's not going anywhere. There's just too much good happening right now, she said. Jones, a new mom to a baby boy and soon to be mother to 2 bonus daughters when she marries in April, is a native who is working to ensure the culture of the city thrives, one artist at a time. Jones's grandfather was a professor at St. Augustine's University. Her mother taught at Leesville High School, where Jones was a student, and her father was among the first Black student council members at Enloe High School. She was a theater kid who earned a scholarship to Miami of Ohio University, where she majored in vocal performance. My father said, what are you going to do when you graduate? She remembered. So she added a minor in arts administration, a decision that would shape her career. After graduating in 2009, Jones returned to Raleigh and immersed herself in the local art scene, performing with nearly every theater company in the area and even singing opera. But her arts administration skills became her career. She began picking up marketing work on the side before transitioning to full-time roles. Her first major arts administration job was at Arts Together in downtown Raleigh. Then came a pivotal opportunity, helping build the African American Cultural Festival of Raleigh. Booking acts, bringing in visual artists, and fostering community creativity, Jones said, was addictive. I fell in love with it, she said. In 2018, Jones joined the North Carolina Arts Council, first as music director, then as senior program director for artists and organizations, navigating the pandemic through virtual meetings. Then in 2021, ArtSpace came calling. I jumped at the opportunity, she said, noting she had attended an ArtSpace camp as a child. Its mission thrilled her. ArtSpace is the ArtSpace is the largest publicly accessible community of visual artists under one roof in North Carolina. It offers educational programming, open gallery space, and subsidized studio rentals. The building houses 30 artist studios, each operating as a small business, creating and selling work while engaging directly with the public. From a business continuity perspective, ArtSpace had key advantages. It wasn't solely reliant on grants and foundations, instead generating revenue through classes, workshops, and studio rentals. What I learned from the pandemic is you can't always depend on that, so you've got to find a way to be self-reliant, Jones said. Just as crucial, ArtSpace owns its building. Still, Jones knew the job wouldn't be easy. She was replacing Mary Poole, who had led ArtSpace for 18 years, and the opportunity came on the heels of a global pandemic. I had quite a bit of work to do, she said. I saw it as a way to make real, tangible change here in my city. The building itself dates back to 1911, once serving as a livery for horses and later an auto dealership. Today, it's a historic asset, but also a financial challenge. Building expenses are often the largest line item in the budget. Jones calls it a major challenge. but not insurmountable. ArtSpace has raised funds from foundations and individuals for support. According to tax records, ArtSpace's revenue reached nearly $1.1 million last year, but expenses climbed to nearly $1.2 million. Jones said the Financial Balancing Act is part of a larger mission. It's crucial that we think of the arts and culture sector as a necessary part of growth and development, she said. We can have awesome tech companies, but if there's nothing to do in downtown Raleigh, where are people going to go? And now we, in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to a new section called Bottom Line Triangle. Downtown Raleigh's new skyline, pressures mount at Triangle Colleges. In this episode of Bottom Line Triangle, the TBJ team discusses the surprising evolution of downtown Raleigh's skyline, the rising costs of higher education, and the challenges faced by both public and private colleges in the Triangle. In addition, Kelly Calabria of Blue Cross North Carolina dissects the rising costs of healthcare and how the state's largest insurer proposes to address increasing headwinds in the market. Downtown Raleigh's evolution. Since the rise of remote work after the pandemic, new office projects in downtown Raleigh have come to a halt, but even as the office market has stalled, a new skyline is rising in the form of residential towers. That evolution is coming at a time when nearby Dix Park is beginning to flourish, with the new Gibson Play Plaza attracting hundreds of thousands of visitors since opening in June. TBJ takes a look at the pipeline of investments and what they mean for economic growth in Raleigh's central core. Oh, and I should mention, Bottom Line Triangle is a new podcast that is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is a information on it. And the quote that goes along with that is from Kaylee Thompson, a real estate reporter. Downtown used to be basically a 9-to-5 city, and they're trying to make it more of this concept of an 18-hour city. You need people who live downtown, whether they work or not in downtown, to be there after 5 p.m. The second topic was the changing landscape for area colleges and universities. North Carolina colleges and universities are wrestling with multiple pressures, from cuts in research funding to competition from the shrinking pool of potential students. And as families across the state are weighing whether a college degree is worth the financial outlay, some employers are becoming more open to hiring workers with a two-year degree or providing on-the-job training through apprenticeship programs. TBJ breaks down the latest insights on the health of the Triangle's higher education sector. A quote from Zach Ezone, higher education reporter, I think for degree programs, that's sort of where the point of emphasis is for university administrators. Those areas that are more clearly aligned with where there are workforce needs and where you can have a return maybe earlier. And the final subject is healthcare reimbursement conundrum. As healthcare costs continue to rise, so do health insurance premiums, fueling in part what's become an unsustainable model of healthcare delivery. How did we get here? How did we get here? What roles do insurers, providers, legislators, and regulators play in addressing the crisis? And the quote from Kelly Calabria of Blue Cross North Carolina, we know that this year alone, healthcare costs are expected to go up 8%, and we know next year they're on a trajectory to go up another 8.5%. So you can start to see that this path is not sustainable. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Today's program, though, is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.